Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By, episode 33, for Friday, the 21st of October, 2011. I am Craig Jones, and I am joined, as always, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Howdy.
How are you doing this Friday afternoon?
It's Friday.
It is. That's a good day, isn't it?
Yep, great day.
Yes, it is. All right, so we're going to be on a little bit of a truck getting through these stories today, but it should be fun. Why don't we start off with your story?
Oh, you're going to love this.
Am I?
Yes. The good people in Germany, especially like in Bavaria, Baden-Württemberg, Brandenburg, Schleswig-Holstein, and Lower Saxony, have been spied on by their local government. The good people up in their government have decided that they want to install a Trojan onto their computers, called R2D2, multiple different names, that will allow them to eavesdrop on Skype conversations, decrypt SSL, like
Hold on a second. Hey, German government, go fuck yourself. Okay, go on.
So, the Trojan could break SSL encryption. It was like going like completely just like logging keystrokes. It was just a complete backdoor onto the computer. They could like see like what images you have in your computer, like take screenshots of your desktop at the moment. And it was like, oh yeah, we're not doing anything bad because we've been using this for good. Because we've been listening in like on for like drug investigations. And they actually used this at local police have used this and have actually used it in criminal cases. So this is not like us geeks like blowing this out of proportion. You can read this like in the Register, Der Spiegel, Ars Technica. Even Gizmodo had a story on this. It was just talking about how the German government, or at least state governments in Germany, have been spying on their citizens.
You know what the ironic thing about this is? The ironic thing about this is that the Germans are known for their just absolute fanatical ideas about privacy. They are some of the most privacy-conscious people in the modern world. They, for instance, they have pretty consistently been suing Google about Google Street View and identification, facial recognition, things like that. I mean, they're just, you know, activist in their want for privacy. So to have their own government spy on them in such a tangible, such a real, such a provable manner is just, it's astounding. And it's going to be a huge, huge thing in Germany. This will not be allowed to stand. And if we know one thing, we know you don't want to piss off the Germans.
No, history will tell you that that's not a good thing.
No.
So there's even like a PDF on WikiLeaks that has a transcript of like letters sent to some prosecutor's office or something like that, and then a letter from the company who made the Trojan, Digitask, to the government, like the Bavarian Ministry of Justice. So, but this is really just freaky, and I think this was discovered by I believe by a lawyer who was passing through like the border, and the program was installed onto his laptop. So I'm guessing he was checking his computer for viruses or something, and they found this, and he gave his hard drive to things like Chaos Computer Corporation or something like that. And they just looked at it and then they figured out what the heck the thing is, what it does. Chaos Computer Club. And this is some really freaky stuff. Like, if they're doing it, what's stopping the U.S. from doing this?
Nothing. And this is something that we have people in the United States that would just love to do this. I guarantee it. And if there is not the appropriate level of outrage in Germany over this, I fear that the powers that be in this country will take heart and think that they themselves can risk doing this type of thing. As a matter of fact, I am worried that this might already be the case, in which case, lovely CIA agent who is listening to this conversation, I am in total support of everything that you do, and I cannot possibly be any more supportive of the government. And I'm sure oh my god.
So
we would be so screwed. Oh my.
Yes. So the Skype capture unit does live diversion of voice, of chat, of video, of data. It can capture Skype in, Skype casts, Skype SMS, buddy list, compressed data transmission, encrypted data transmission, streaming capable media player. This is probably like some weird list that they it can do. And it all for SSL encryption, well, they give you a list of things that it's used for, so I'm guessing this is stuff that they could actually capture. Online banking, internet shops, web mail, chat networks, e-commerce applications, POP3, SMTP, all the like IMAP, all the like IRC, FTP, all the different ways you can use email for.
Now, did they need to have a court order to do this?
I think it has to be covered by the police. Like, I'm guessing it does. They do have to have some court order, but it doesn't seem to be the case that it was just by a court order.
Yeah, it was my impression that that there was not an order required for this. This is a very disturbing story, and one that needs to be kept in mind for future reference, because we have the possibility that this could happen to us as well. So,
let's go on a slightly probably lighter story and get to what you're doing.
All right, well, sit back, because this is going to take a while. I'm joking. Chemslave needs to go to bed. All right. It was a big week in Apple news. Of course, last week was...
Again?
Last week was a big week in Apple news for a very different and very sad reason. Obviously, Steve Jobs passed away a few weeks ago. But this week, it was a much more happy thing, because we see the fruition of some of his... of some of his policies. One of these things is iCloud and iOS 5 5 and iPhone 4S. All of that was released. Now, iCloud is their syncing service that syncs your documents, your music, your it backs up your phone. It's their answer to the Google services, and that was released this Wednesday, along with iOS 5, the next major release of the iOS operating system, and the iPhone 4S was released on Friday. Now, I'm going to give a review of the iPhone 4S, because, like the douchebag that I am, Friday, I didn't wait in line this time, but this Friday, I did go, and I bought the iPhone 4S.
I thought you were not going to buy one because of money concerns.
I found a way to make it work, and I couldn't help myself. Couldn't help myself. So I bought it, and I love it. And I'll be honest with you, I don't notice a big speed increase. I just don't. I'm sure it's there, and I'm sure if I played the right game or did the right kind of computational thing, I would see it. But in day-to-day use, you can't really tell. Some menus pop up faster, noticeably faster, but it's not something that's going to change your outlook on things. But what I really, really love about it is the redesigned antenna and the speaker. The redesigned antenna fixes everything wrong with the iPhone 4 antenna, from the death grip to just poor signal quality in general. This is the best iPhone I've ever had, and I've had them all except for the original. It's the best one I've ever had in terms of reception. Just out of this world. It's fantastic.
So you actually noticed death grip problems with your 4?
In terms of connection, absolutely. Yep. Yep. I'd get popping. I'd get the sound sometimes. I would drop a call. Even on Verizon. I might add, even on Verizon, AT&T gets a bad rap. And some of it might be the iPhone's fault itself. Obviously it was, because Apple redesigned the antenna and they fixed a lot of these issues. And the speaker, oh my god, the speaker is, I've got to say, at least twice as loud as the other one. It has revolutionized my use of the phone at work when I listen to things. When I go to work, it's amazing. I work at a gas station part-time to pay some expenses while I attend college. And when I listen to podcasts or music, I am astounded at how loud that speaker is. I mean, it's a breakthrough. It's fantastic. And also, Siri. Siri, the personal assistant built into iOS 5, built into iOS 5, but only for the iPhone 4S. That is also amazing. That is really very good. For those of you that don't know, Siri is this program that you press the home button for a few seconds, and on the iPhone 4S, instead of getting the voice control program that you would invoke if you hold down the home button for the 3GS and iPhone 4, you get Siri, and you can ask Siri to do things like make me an appointment for 4 o'clock on the 25th of October, and it would do it. Or remind me to remind me to program a biography when I arrive at home. And it would create a to-do task with a reminder that would be activated when I reach home. Or, you know, call Chemslave. Or, you know, text Chemslave, I'll be late.
Do you actually have me set up as Chemslave on your phone?
No, I don't. I have you set up as Andrew.
Crap.
And I'm not changing it, by the way. Because I'll be saying Andrew, and it won't know what I'm saying, and I'll get pissed off. But you can say send email, send a text message. You can control a lot of what you do on the phone with Siri. And Siri, I think, is going to be great for reminders and for calendar events. For setting an alarm clock is fantastic. For checking the weather, amazing. I am very happy with Siri, and I thought it was going to be a gimmick, but I'm going to be using that, baby. I'm going to be using that a lot. This is a really good upgrade. And the screen is actually nicer, too. It's not higher quality in terms of pixel density. Or resolution. It's still that fantastic Retina display, but it's got a nicer tone. It's a little bit cooler in terms of color temperature. It's not as hot as the iPhone 4 was in terms of color. And I like it. It's a good upgrade, and I'm very happy. I am very happy with it. I don't regret for an instant upgrading. It's almost difficult to talk about. You almost have to use the phone. And for me, the speed increase is just absolutely the least important thing, because the iPhone 4 was fast enough. It was fast enough. And if you have an iPhone 4 right now, I still recommend you not upgrade. I'm an Apple fanatic, and I'm a technology fanatic. I always have to have the latest technology, and for me, it was important to get the iPhone 4S just for my own personal sanity. But for most people, an iPhone 4 is 90% of what the 4S is, and you can't justify that last 10% likely. But it's also been a big week in terms of, you know, we've had little stories from, like, Bloomberg Business Week about the iOS senior vice president, his name is Scott Forstall, possibly becoming the next Steve Jobs. I recommend you read that. I'm not going to go too far into that. But you can tell Apple is planting stories, trying to make it look like, with Steve Jobs gone, Apple still has a soul, and it still has strong people inside it, and it still has some vision for the future. You're going to be seeing favorable stories of Tim Cook, Scott Forstall, Phil Schiller, the worldwide marketing VP, and other executives as well. You're going to be seeing a lot of favorable stories about these people. With Steve Jobs now gone, Apple, I think, is purposely seeding journalists with these stories. Now, they also mentioned Scott Forstall has some of Steve Jobs' less desirable attributes, being a very difficult person to work with, being very headstrong at times. But it was a positive piece overall. And also you have the rumor that the iPhone 4S is not really the important iPhone. The important iPhone is the iPhone 5, which would have been the Steve Jobs iPhone. It's the iPhone that Steve Jobs worked on intensely in his last weeks and months, possibly years even, of employment at Apple. It's the phone that he was coordinating the details of up to the time of his death, if the latest rumors are accurate. And it's going to be this phone that's going to be a major redesign. It's going to be different in all these magical ways, and it's going to have the Steve Jobs touch like the iPhone 4S didn't. Supposedly, the iPhone 4S didn't get a lot of the Steve Jobs attention because his time was limited. So, you know, it's been a big week for these types of stories. We have them listed at justgangbypodcast.com. It was a good day for iPhone sales. AT&T and Sprint broke their records for first-day activations, and Apple broke a record of over a million iPhone 4Ss sold in one day. I mean, it was just astounding. It takes Microsoft a whole quarter of a year to sell that many Windows Phone 7 devices, so, I mean, it's astounding. It really is. But we have all those stories in the show notes. I encourage you to take a look at them. It's been a good week for Apple, I must say. And after the week they had last week with losing the co-founder, ex-CEO, and chairman, Steve Jobs, they needed a good week. And boy, did they get it. Their stock closed at an all-time high on Friday, and they are just set to keep going. So it's looking good for Apple. And do you have anything to add on that, Chemslave? Yeah, I haven't said... What's that?
I think the whole story about how the last big project, the next iPhone, sort of... I don't know. Weird to me. Yeah, in fact, they're trying just to make this, like, this imaginary phone that has not even seen the light of day, at least to us yet, and trying to make this, like, sort of, like... Oh yeah, this is Steve Jobs' last big project. We don't know that. Some dude somewhere said this, and we're CNET's reporting it.
You're absolutely right. We have no evidence of this, and I think Steve Jobs was heavily involved in the iPhone 5. I think he was also heavily involved in the iPhone 5S and the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6S. The iPhone 6S. That's funny. 6S. I'm sorry. I must be getting a little bit punchy myself. I think he was involved in all these products and products we can't even think of. And I think he had an idea of where the company should go for the next, maybe half decade. That's just the type of man he was. I almost don't see the iPhone 5 story being a big deal, because of course it's going to happen. And of course Steve Jobs would have had his hands on it. It's just the nature of the company and how they operate. So you're right to treat it with some skepticism, but only in that it's not really that special a thing, because, Jobs was just hands-on on this type of stuff anyway. Do you have anything else to say?
Nope.
All right, then. So why don't we wrap things up and let Chemslave go to bed, because he has to wake up early in the morning to be a slave to chemistry. Right, Chemslave?
Yep.
It's in your name, isn't it?
Love my job. Yeah, it is.
You love your job. Just keep look at yourself in the mirror and just keep saying that. Now,
not a problem.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, if you want to email us any comments, any suggestions, feedback, please go to email us at justgingbypodcast@justgingbypodcast.com. Again, feedback@justgingbypodcast.com. And then go to our website. Again, justgettingbypodcast.com to look at today's show, our show notes, previous shows and show notes, and to find links to subscribe to us in iTunes and your RSS reader of choice. So we will sign off now, and I hope you'll listen to us again in the future. It should be a fun week next week. So until then, enjoy yourself. Have a good week, Chemslave.
You too, Craig.
Thank you.